I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Bill O'Brien needs to make it right. For real, just make it right. Call Jadeveon Clowney. Get him back in town. If they hadn't traded him last year, I think there's a chance you're talking about a Super Bowl squad. I really do. And Ron, the show, Hughley,
you're getting pushback.
He's going to be on with Wade Smith today.
I'm a lover,
he's,
man.
He's kind of rolled his eyes at it. Okay, let's look at what actually happened last year. They were up 24-0 in Kansas City. J.J. Watt missed the majority of the season. Whitney Mercilus started out very, very good, but as he got most of the attention, defense kind of fell off a cliff. If you have Clowney, Whitney's going to be getting less attention, and maybe he keeps going. Maybe you win an extra game. Maybe you even have a bye. And I'm getting all this talk about, well, Clowney had 3 sacks last year. All right, first of all, he had to go into a new system. Second of all, if you look at the advanced stats with what went down with Jadeveon Clowney, and this is according to Ben Baldwin of Pro Football Focus, Ben Baldwin, of The Athletic, actually in Seattle, Jadeveon Clowney had a top 10 pass rush win rate, courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info last year. He was top 10 in total pass pressures and defensive grade, despite being double teamed, top 3 in the league for a defensive lineman. So he was getting all of the attention in Seattle. We've seen Jadeveon Clowney play good football without J.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
And we really didn't get a very good taste of J.D. Clowney and J.J. Watt on the field at the same time, except for a couple of years ago when Watt had 16 sacks and they were both on the field. They were actually, right. The defense was actually the strength of the team 2 years ago.
Man, those were the days.
You add Jadeveon Clowney to what went down last year, specifically in Kansas City and specifically when J.J. Watt went down, and you add Jadeveon Clowney to this team right now, this is a team that last year, who knows what they could have done. I mean, you were close enough as it was. Who knows what happens if he's in Kansas City? Maybe things are a little bit different. Then you get to host the Oilers. Then who knows what happens? And this year, as you look at this Texans team and you look at the defense, I mean, the defensive line is about as thin as it can possibly be. We're talking about guys like Ross Blacklock, a second-round pick, and Charles Omenihu, a fifth-round pick in his second year, talking about, well, you know, you got to rely on these guys. You add Clowney to this mix. I think differently about this team now, and who knows? I don't even want to think about because it'll drive me nuts what could have happened last year. I think Bill O'Brien needs to swallow his pride. The price isn't as high as Clowney thought it would be. It's probably not even going to be as high as they thought it would be. Go ahead and go shop for that bargain. You might not have wanted to pay a premium price for Clowney, but at this point, Clowney's gone from being regarded as one of the most overrated players in the NFL to now, just based on the text and everything everyone's saying, he's one of the most underrated guys in the NFL, and he would automatically take the Texans to a completely different level.
Okay, let's operate under the very safe assumption, very, very, very safe assumption, that it's not going to happen, according to John McClain and others, not going to happen, okay, even at a bargain. But let's talk about, you know, that you're saying there's a chance possibility, okay? It's just fascinating to me how many people think not only that Jadeveon Clowney is not a great player, by the way, he is. It's just not the sacks. you know, the team's game plan for him, his tackles for losses over the last few years compare with anybody at the top of the list, the way he can collapse the defensive line. But it's a fascinating how people think not only is he not a great player, that he's not even a good player. You know, people are like, look at the text board, and I know it's not a scientific survey. People will text us because they feel passionate about it.
It sounds like he don't need to be in the league.
Let me just say this, okay? A lot of times you can look at stats of other players that you don't watch all the time, and you can say, well, you know, he only had X amount of sacks. If you're a Texans fan and you're on the text line right now criticizing Jadeveon Clowney, 713-572-4610, because I want to make sure you're not a bot. Because if you watched Jadeveon Clowney play every single week and you think that he sucked and you think that his stats matched the impact he actually had on the field, you need to call Randall Cobb and get your eyes checked with him. You need to change your prescription, because Jadeveon Clowney, if you honestly think that, I don't know what the hell you're watching. You're either a bot or you are a damn fool to question the impact Jadeveon Clowney had on this team and could have on this year.
That's what I really want to talk about, but I do agree with you. I'll channel Mike Meltzer here. If you don't think that he's not only not a great player, but he's not even good, that's just a bad opinion. That's just as Meltzer would say and has said in the past, that's just wrong. That's just a bad opinion. Most opinions aren't bad or wrong because it's just your opinion. That one is. That's just a bad. The numbers that he had. I mean, he won a game with an interception at that Monday night game. He just flat out
dominant.
Flat out won it. And
he's
was
good
dominant.
For winning you a game each year.
He defends passes. His tackles for loss are just off the charts. You know, year in, year out. He does get a few sacks, not the double digit, and that's why people, you know, criticize him. But let's just go to the main point here. The main point is here. You said that he could have helped the Texans maybe win a Super Bowl last year if you were on the team.
Which people say that's crazy. They were 24-0 against Kansas City.
Right.
They were a game or so away from having a bye, and they would have hosted the AFC Championship against the Tennessee Titans. And, oh, by the way, you would have had him when Watt was out.
Right. So I'm not going to necessarily go as far as you and say they would have, but I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy to think that. And then the other point, what would he do? This is the bigger point. This is the more important, most important point. What would he do for this defense? If somehow, some way, you could swallow your pride as Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby run the show over there, bring him back despite having the ill will with him when he left, what would he do for this team? He would do enough. I mean, you know, he would do enough considering you're an offensive-minded team, your franchise quarterback, you know, can maybe win some games that are close with his magic. Jadeveon Clowney would make this defense better. I'm not saying it would be top five, but it would make it good enough to be in the top 10, maybe.
Did Jadeveon Clowney overrate his value? Yes, obviously. That's there. Was he worth Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald money? No. But just because a very, very attractive girl thinks she's a Victoria's Secret model doesn't mean she's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the mistake that people are making on the text line. Okay, yeah, she's probably not as hot as all the Victoria's Secret models, but she's still a very attractive girl, and she might think that she's in the category that she doesn't belong in, but that doesn't mean she's not attractive. Jadeveon Clowney's a very good football player. And if you look at Bill Belichick and look at what he did in New England, Jamie Collins was a Pro Bowler and a member of a Super Bowl team. Jamie Collins was one of the most talented guys, but his intangibles were being questioned, and they shipped his ass off to Cleveland. He failed in Cleveland. He didn't take that next step.
Yeah.
But you know what Bill Belichick did a few years later?
Yeah.
He brought back Jamie Collins for less than he thought he was originally worth. Jamie Collins wanted a lot of money from the Patriots. The Patriots said no. They trade him to Cleveland. That value decreases. They bring back Jamie Collins. He's a pivotal piece of what they've done recently and one of the best defenses in the league last year. That's what needs to happen with Jadeveon Clowney. 713-572-4610. It's Football Friday. Texans training camp is going on right now. Let's go to Sean. Sean, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, you know, Texans fans, they're passionate. We're all passionate. And, you know, we get a little emotional when it comes to guys who are on our team. But, you know, when it comes to Clowney, I will give him, he's an elite run defender. But one...
Oh, darn it. Cut out, bro, man.
Cut out. I think he was just basically going to say he's an elite run defender, but he doesn't rush the passer. Okay.
But yeah, I don't think you necessarily – I mean, you need it.
Okay. Well, you just lost an elite run defender in DJ Reader. Okay? He's one of the best in the game. There's a reason that he's the highest paid one-tech defensive tackle, and he's in Cincinnati. So right now, when it comes to stopping the run, the Texans last year, they were ninth in the league because of DJ Reader.
Mm-hmm. You lost DJ Reader.
Yeah, I don't feel great about the Texans' run defense right now. I really don't. And I don't want J.J. Watt to have to take on an even larger task of stopping the run. So, yeah, you could probably use a guy who can stop the run, who can get after the quarterback a little bit, who can take the pressure off of J.J. Watt, who can take the pressure off of Whitney Mercilus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And, yeah, the price is lower. The price is lower, John. Like, that's the whole thing. You're not – adjust your mindset, okay? That's what Bill Belichick did with Jamie Collins. Was Clowney worth Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald money? We talked about it for a year. Hell no, he was not.
Right.
But that's not the market now. So adjust your mindset and realize that Clowney has gone from being someone you don't want to pay that amount of money to a bargain. Call him, apologize, tiff treats, roses, whatever you got to do. Hell, send him some barbecue. I don't know what Clowney likes, but this defense needs help. You got the cap space. He knows the system. Anthony Weaver's worked with him before. He's now the defensive coordinator. Anthony Weaver would love to have a guy like Jadeveon Clowney on this team. The Texans fans should love to have a guy like Jadeveon Clowney on this team. Hit up number 90. Get him back. Take the next step. Improve your football team. It's right there in front of you. And oh, by the way, if you don't do it, he's going to be rocking that damn Tennessee multiple blue.
Like $12 million.
Yeah. Look, he's not going to go cheap. He's just not going to go for the money that that he wanted. You said it earlier, Texans, the adjusted cap space is, what, $20 million, I believe. It could be done. It won't be done by all accounts and all reports. That's just not the way it's going to go, and it's not going to happen. I think this is more just my argument here is just how bizarre it is that people – put such a high value on sacks that think he's just not good. That's just wrong, man.
If you watch Clowney play,
and that he couldn't
day,
help
again,
this team
again. If you watch Clowney play every day, every single week, and you still question his value, you're either a bot, or you don't know, or you're a football idiot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. Like, especially with what he's going to go for now, it's an absolute steal. Let's go to Mickey. Mickey, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, are you sure you want to hear this call?
Go for it. Go for it. Everybody's got an opinion.
Okay. Hey, listen, that one guy earlier, and also you didn't tell the crowd what club I'm the president of. That's most important.
He is the president of the B.O.B. Hate Club.
Yes,
Nick
sir.
Is.
Yes, sir.
All right, now we can go. Hey, the guy that called about 45 minutes ago was right on about all these coaches being a puppet. You know, you just can't say it enough. Anyone that works for B.O.B., they are a puppet. He's got his thumb on everybody. And here's the problem. A good manager, and I know it's hard to believe, I'm an old guy, but I work with major corporations. He doesn't know how to delegate. He's got to have his thumb on everything. So, like these critical fourth down calls, instead of doing it right then, he calls timeout, throw up the red flag, we're going to do something. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. And, you know, until the city of Houston says, you know, we hate this guy, we're not going to games, it's going to continue because all these good players we've had, DJ Reader, Honey Badger, and to let our wide receiver go, DeAndre Hopkins, it's just people can't stand him. He can't make good decisions. So at the end of the day, you know, he's not a player's coach. They all hate him. If you took an anonymous survey, nobody likes him, and he thinks he's Bill Belichick, but I'll hang up and listen, but yeah. Just so you know, I'm spending nothing. If they open up the stadium like last year, I'm not spending a dime. I'm not watching. Houston deserves better. I'll hang up and listen, and I love you guys.
Love
Bye.
You too.
Man, love
man,
you I'm back. Sorry.
It's good to have the head of the B.O.B. Hate Club in town.
You brought it.
Oh, my.
Sports Radio 610, run in.
God, the Super Bowl, Landry? They would have gone to the Super Bowl. Come on, John. You didn't. I heard you stay out of that Super Bowl.
No, I said it's not crazy. It's not crazy.
They were up 24-0 in Kansas City.
I didn't co-sign, but I said it's not crazy.
They were a game away. There's reason to think that if you have Clowney on this team with Watt out, with how Whitney Merciless fell off a cliff, with a 24-point lead, with the fact that you were the worst in the league on third down, you were the worst in the league in the red zone, these opportunities don't come around very often. Clowney on last year's team, if Bill O'Brien had swallowed his pride, we could be talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl.
I cannot agree with that at all. Clowney is a good player. Is a good player. You keep throwing around great.
He's great at certain things,
but I just say this. I've never heard of a great player that doesn't have stats.
He's got stats.
He is a pass rusher. He should be a pass rusher. He stops a run, but this is a passing league.
Why does he have to be a pass rusher? That's what I don't get. There's point guards. There's a lot of, like, it just seems like.
There's not a point guard that doesn't get assist. Well, not a great one.
There are some shoot first point guards. There are some point guards that can't shoot. There are some shooty guards that aren't that might not be able to shoot as well, but they play defense. Why is it that in the NFL, with a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, who's elite at stopping the run, and he gets a lot of attention, he gets double teamed, top three in the league, why is it that he has to do a certain thing? Now, he might have to do a certain thing to get paid. I'm with you on that. And I think that's what he's learning. But as far as being a productive member of a team that can help a team take that next step, why do we ignore that, but in other sports we adjust what a guy can do if they can do other stuff great?
He can stop the run. He's an outside linebacker, which means he's a pass rusher, which means he has to get to the quarterback. And you said they would win the Super Bowl. I know you're not talking about they would have beat the Chiefs since he was stopping the run last year.
Let me ask you this.
To get to the quarterback.
Let me just ask you this. Even without Jadeveon Clowney, would you have picked the Texans at home to win the AFC Championship game?
At home against who?
Anyone. Against Kansas City Chiefs.
Against the Chiefs? No, yeah. I wouldn't have picked them at home against the Chiefs. Listen, I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a great player, and I don't think he's consistently
a difference
maker.
Well, he's not going to get paid like a great player.
Right.
That's my point. Like, he's a bargain. Like, it's like Jamie Collins in New England. Like, he wanted a lot of money, and the Patriots said, screw you, go to Cleveland. And then Bill Belichick said, damn, you know, I butted heads with this guy, but you know what? I truly live and die. I don't just come up here at the podium and spell out team. And then all of a sudden go back there and hold a chip on my shoulder that prevents me from doing what's best for the team. I'm going to call Jamie Collins now that value is dropping. I'm going to bring him back to New England, and we're going to win a Super Bowl, and he's going to be a key part of my defense. That is the whole thing. You're not paying him like he's a great player anymore. If you didn't want to do that, that's fine. You traded him for a bag of peanuts and Jacob Martin, who wears golden retriever socks. That's great. Awesome. Good job, dude.
Well,
you got that.
But
he's not getting paid like a great player now, and you should swallow your pride and bring him back.
I hear that. I just think this team needs pass rushers more than they need run stoppers to make this defense better. And I just stick with it, man. You said, I heard you talk about a new system. Khalil Mack went from the Raiders to the Bears. He was still kicking ass.
I think part of it.
I don't think he's a great player. Has stats. Not
all right, let me. I'm glad you said that. Before you get out of here, I got to give you some stats. His last 32 games, because he's missed some games, and I think that's hurt him in your argument.
Injury.
Your argument about stats, he's got to have stats. His last 32 games, that's two full seasons, 16-16, right? He's averaging 12.5 sacks for those two seasons. For his last 32 games played, is what I'm saying. Would that change your mind?
If he did that in a year, yes.
Look, his last 32 games played, I got it right in front of me. It's three seasons now because he's missing games. He's averaging 12.5 sacks. How would that grab you?
If he could do that in a year, yes. But he doesn't do that in a year.
But my point is that's hit. You want stats? I'm giving you stats. But that's his average production.
And you're giving me that over 3 years. What I'm telling you.
But it's 32 games.
He's never had 10 sacks in a season, and last year he played all and he had three.
And he is.
He's had a hernia. He did have a hernia.
He's an absolute.
And he always is hurt.
Terror to game plan again.
He's Sammy Watkins. That's what he is.
Oh, that's an insult right there. Now show's just taking it way too far there. Show in Wade Smith tonight. Clint.
Thank you, show.
The Damn River. Ron the Show Hughley right there. 713-572-4610. The ball. bottom line is this.
You want stats? I'll give you stats.
I wish I knew how to quit you, Jadavian. Football Friday continues next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
By the way, we kind of screwed up on the stats. Six sacks per 16. But who's counting?
Yeah, 12 and a half sacks. But here's some numbers for Jadavian Clowney in his last 32 games. Averaging 21 quarterback hits per season. Averaging 3 forced fumbles per season. 2.5 fumble recoveries per season. 1 touchdown per season. 13 tackles for losses. And 50 tackles. He's really good. He's really good.
And I mean, again, the value has changed. Mm-hmm. Like, is Whitney Merciless worth the money he's making? He's like double digit. That's 8 figures a year.
Yeah.
Is he worth it? No. Would J.D. Clowney be worth around that? Yes. You got to adjust your mindset.
And let's talk about the options, too. You want Jacob Martin or you want Jadavian Clowney?
Come on, dude, are you serious? Shane, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
What's up, gentlemen? Love the show. Landry, give props to you after the post game at the Astros. I love listening to it.
Thank you.
I think we should sign J.D. Clowney, man, because like you just hinted with Merciless, well, he disappeared last year when Watt went out, but now if Clowney's there, if Watt does go out, you know, you got Merciless can still get the sacks because he's a true pass rusher. You don't necessarily need J.D. Clowney to get the sacks. He just needs to kind of make the quarterback step in the pocket, move left, right, and now you got guys to clean it up if he can just kind of wreak havoc. And with Anthony Weaver, you know, you don't want to give your first-time defensive coordinator 3 bullets if I got a 6-shooter. You want 6 bullets to go into war. I mean, even if it's a 6-shooter, you still need all 6 bullets to even try to compete. And that's just kind of my opinion is you need to stack the box with as much talent as we got. And I think J.D. Clowney can really make a difference and help Whitney Merciless get more sacks. And that takes pressure off him, you know, with all the – like you're talking about, does he deserve that much money? I'll hang up and listen, gentlemen.
Good stuff, man. You too.
The other thing is we didn't really get to see, you know, the whole sales pitch when you traded for Clowney was, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're going to get him and J.J. Watt on the field at the same time. Well, J.J. Missed 2 out of the last 3 seasons or significant time when Clowney was here. You saw them together 2 years ago. Defense was better than the offense in 2017. So I just don't get it, man. Like, yeah. I can get – like, I can go on your side of things – if you are a Clowney doubter, if you're trying to tell me he's not worth Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald money, I can rap with you there. Mm-hmm. Like I can do that with you. But when you sit there and you say that he's not worth what he's going to get now with the market dropping, I can't get down with that.
Right.
I just can't. 2017 Texans had the 17th best defense, which wasn't good. But oh, by the way. The offense was 32nd. J.D. Clowney was first-team All-Pro. 2018 was when I was talking about mm-hmm. Clowney and Watt being on the field at the same time. You had the 5th best defense in the NFL. That was with both them on the field.
Right. And look, you don't need him to be – and look, nobody's – at you know, I guess you're kind of advocating for it, but we're talking about
no, I'm absolutely
what it could
do
mean.
Do you really want to do what's best for the team or not?
Absolutely.
Okay,
exactly.
Well then get Clowney here on a one-year deal with a fire under his ass.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. And the option is he's going to end up in your division. But no, I hear you. It's just – I just keep going back to how once he's gone, and maybe there are other things at work here – but the amount of disrespect, and this truly is disrespect, that his game gets is just mind-blowing when you look at what he does.
Especially if you watched him every week. If Jadavian Clowney played in, I don't know, for the Jets, and I didn't watch the Jets play every week, like obviously you keep a close eye on it, but if he played for the Jets and I just opened up and I just pulled up his box score and I said, damn. Oh, never had a double-digit sack game. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. You know, this guy, he's not that good. I don't understand it. But if you watched him play every single week here in Houston and you're still sitting there, like, questioning the impact he can have, I don't know. I don't know what really to say. And look, man, like, a lot of this has to do with, number one, the price has dropped. Number two, you really didn't invest much in the defense. To me, this would save the offseason. Like, this would make the offseason ideal, mm-hmm. and you don't have anybody else on that defense that's going to be able to do anything close to what he does.
Right.
You're going to tell me Angelo Blackson's going to do something? Angelo Blackson didn't have a sack last year, dude.
Yeah.
He's like one guy who played X amount of snaps or whatever, one of seven, who didn't record a single sack.
Well, they're talking about, like, how important it is for Jacob Martin to come up big this year. They're talking
come
about
on.
How important it is for Charles Omenihu to come
out. I love
out,
Charles, but
to
come on.
I do, too. But again, come on. I mean, if those are the options and you're saying, no, I don't want Clowney over those guys, what are you looking at? Seriously. Their best year is about Clowney's worst year in sacks.
Do you think the New England Patriots, if Cam Newton, let's say that Cam Newton would have demanded $12 million a year or something like that, and let's pretend they had the cap space. Let's say that Cam Newton is demanding $20 million or whatever. Do you think the Patriots are going to sign him? Probably not.
Probably not.
Now all of a sudden you look at it and he's a bargain and you're basically bringing him in for pennies on the dollar and they're willing to do it. That's Bill Belichick. That's the same guy who trades Jamie Collins when he wants a hefty contract.
Right.
And then a couple years later, after a failed stint in Cleveland, he brings him back. That's the mindset. That's
totally
a winning
agree.
Mindset right there.
That's swallowing your pride and finding value.
Thank you.
And that's all you're saying. That's exactly. all we're saying. Because, I don't think it's a crazy idea to think that they would have won a Super Bowl had Jadeveon been playing last year. I don't co-sign it, but I don't think it's off the table. I do think bringing him in, if you can somehow manage to do that, would be a huge, huge thing for this defense.
Just give the call.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
It's a big weekend for the Astros. Huge weekend. Going to Oakland. Would have been nice to get a dub yesterday, only be a game and a half out, heading into a series with the first place A's, but they blew it yesterday in the ninth. Ryan Pressly, unable to get an out, loads the bases. Calhoun walks it off. And the Astros lose 2 out of 3 to a team that hadn't won a series all year and averaged less than 3 runs a game heading into the
weekend. But the roof closed, by the way.
The roof was closed yesterday. That was mentioned by the Houston Astros Twitter page. But that wasn't the strangest thing that happened yesterday, seeing Ryan Pressly struggle the way he did. Dusty Baker, before the game, provided an update on Yordan Alvarez, and it has me thinking that something just ain't right when it comes mm-hmm. to last year's Rookie of the Year. Let's go back to the first spring training, what Dusty Baker, the main talking point was from Dusty when he talked about Yordan Alvarez. This was Dusty Baker talking with all the baseball media types, including Sports Radio 610's Brandon Scott, talking about Yordan Alvarez potentially playing more outfield.
I'd like to see him play a little more outfield, but I've been told that, his knees are barking sometimes. There's a reason why he doesn't get more work in the outfield, because if his knees are barking and he can't hit, then he's not doing us or himself any good.
So the knees are barking
mm-hmm.
is what he said. Fast forward to the exhibition, J-Lo. Yordan Alvarez not in the lineup for the exhibition at the first spring training. Keep in mind, this was before the COVID hit and the season got delayed.
Right.
Dusty Baker, why the hell wasn't 44 in the lineup, man?
Yeah, he got scratched because, he was a little sore today. So we didn't want to take a chance on him, missing any extended time. So we decided not to play him in the outfield, decided not to DH him. Just give him, a couple days to get over some soreness. So he's okay.
Knee soreness?
Yes.
Which knee is it?
Both of them. I've heard he's had them for a long time.
It's getting a little more bizarre by the moment here with Yordan. That was, as you mentioned, that was before. I guess the COVID was on its way, but they hadn't shut down anything. Also, he's repeatedly mentioned Alvarez's knees, and we've seen this last year as well. The issues that he's had with his knees. No one's really said anything about, like, is he in shape or not, or anything like that. Just that he just can't go. They didn't even give a reason, a medical reason or why he wasn't participating. It's got to be something like that. It's got to be, could he be a Greg Oden type that just has those ongoing knee problems, issues. I know Odin was the foot, like Sam Bowie, but is there just something there that is just gonna hinder him consistently?
So they delay the season. Jordan obviously has some time to himself, and you forget about the knees. And you think the biggest issue with Jordan Alvarez is he had COVID. I mean, that's
what everybody was assuming.
That's the thought. I mean, because the way Dusty said Jordan was not there, you assume that he had the COVID. Here was the original update when Jordan Alvarez was not at the second part of spring training as baseball prepared for this 60-game season that we're almost 25% through.
As far as Jordan, you know, it's in the same situation. You know, like, you know, he's another guy that, you know, we can't say anything about other than, you know, he has a condition that's preventing him from reporting to the field.
Condition that's preventing him from reporting to the field.
So you automatically
easy to take that leap.
You assume it's the COVID. And then Jordan gets in town a few weeks ago. He goes to Corpus Christi. The process of getting Jordan ready has been an interesting one to follow with Dusty Baker. A week after he was there, he was taking live BP. Then he was up to 30 swings a day, which I've never heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday, when Dusty's given an update on Jose Urquidy, who's also in Corpus, Mark Berman, of course, jumps in with the Jordan question. And Dusty, once again, doesn't bring up the COVID. He unsolicited brings up the knees.
Yeah.
You said Urquidy was throwing, just like throwing in a live BP simulated game. How would you define what he's doing?
No. He just got off the mound today. This is his first time on the mound. Today or yesterday?
How's Jordan doing?
Versus flat ground. He's making progress too. You know, he's taking batting practice. And he's doing some running, which is a positive sign for his knees. And so the Calvary's a ways off.
He's been talking about his knees for 4 months now.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be something like that. And again, I'm not saying he is Greg Oden and this is it. We're never going to see him again. What I'm saying is it like that in that it's just something that's just always going to be there and is going to keep him from maybe perhaps getting back to the top of his game? I mean, those knee problems, man. A lot of our listeners, I know, realize this. They don't
Johnny,
just go away.
He's in his 20s, dude.
Doesn't matter. I mean, you have knee problems at any age.
He's in his freaking 20s.
I know. He's barely in his 20s, to be honest.
He's been in Corpus for like 3 weeks, and he just started running.
Mm-hmm.
The hell is that? Are we going to see?
What do you think it is? It's got to be the knees.
I mean, I don't know why it's being brought up as much as it is if it's not, but
right.
I think he might have had the Roan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he can move very much. That's why I don't ever want to see this guy.
But they've mentioned
outfield.
The knees repeatedly.
I want him just swinging the bat and then walking to first or walking around the bases.
Like Babe Ruth when he was old?
Just walk around the bases.
Have a ghost runner?
Something strange is going on with Jordan.
Yeah, something strange.
Something very weird. Something weird's going on with the Stros as well.
Yep.
Because this team is in a very bad place when it comes to the bullpen. And the problem with what happened yesterday, and you too, Ryan? Ryan Pressly going out there and not getting the job done. And now there's talk that maybe he doesn't feel like he's getting enough work in, which Chandler Rome brought up before the game yesterday, and then he doubled down on it after the game. It's a tough spot for Dusty to be in because I'm not sitting here saying that Dusty's juggling the bullpen right, but it's a tough juggling act because with these young kids, you want to get them to work in blowouts, but I guess you also have to keep in mind that Ryan Pressly, you can't sit his ass on the bench for a week and then expect him to go in there in these situations. And by the way, that's wishful thinking. I'm hoping that's what's wrong with Ryan Pressly. I'm hoping that Ryan Pressly can go back to closer to what we've been used to seeing from him. I'm hoping that is the excuse and he hadn't just fallen off a cliff.
The other thing that's interesting about this is the dynamic between Brent Strom and Dusty Baker. Clearly, Dusty Baker is overruling Brent Strom on some of these things. I'm not saying that they're at each other or whatever. I mean, he's the manager. He has ultimate last call on these things. But we saw, I guess it was last week, when Dusty went out to the mound for the first mound visit with Greinke, rather than Brent Strom, which is the norm. That was a little bit of a sign to me that, you know, Dusty wanted to make the call there and wanted to talk to Greinke. Then he trusted his pitcher, and it backfired on him. Okay.
Now, I had no problem with that decision, by the way.
Yeah, you and I were on different sides, but that's not the point right now. The point right now is Dusty might be just thinking that he's got this. I'm not saying he's the "I got this" guy. That somebody else has that title. That he's got this. He's making the right decisions, and he's sacrificing the work that these guys need. You know what I mean?
It's not going to get better,
especially unless, with the arms they're missing.
Unless Urquidy and Peacock can come back and be what they were the most recent times that we saw him. Peacock, preferably a couple years ago. But it's going to get more difficult for these young kids, mm-hmm, because guys are going to know what's coming from them. They're going to have a better idea of what these guys are about, and it's going to be a lot easier for them to get hit. So you look at starters. Starters aren't going seven innings. You know, you're getting five, six innings. You're going to need like four innings, best case scenario, from your bullpen. You're gonna need like four innings, and I just cannot map out four innings consistently for the Astros.
Who's getting what? You know?
And are you going to wear guys out? Are you going to wear these kids out when it happens? I threw out the theory with Adam Spillane, or the idea, Adam Spillane of SportsRadio610.com, of piggyback starters, mm-hmm, which is what they do in the minors, where basically you take two guys and you split it up, and ideally one guy gives you four innings, the other guy gives you three or whatever. When Urquidy gets back, maybe you pair him with somebody, and he's the guy, and then maybe Josh James, who just got moved to the bullpen, maybe he comes in and he's one of those guys. Maybe that's the strategy that the Astros are going to have to take. And by the way, we haven't even mentioned this, and this is the real damn shame of everything. How about Brandon Bielak last night?
Yeah.
Brandon Bielak goes out there, gives you five scoreless innings, and he has absolutely nothing to show for it.
And they did handle that correctly. They got the absolute most out of
82
him.
82 pitches. He said he could go 80. He went 82.
Yeah, and he was gassed. I mean, when he got out of the game, there was nothing left. So maybe you could even argue they pushed him too hard, but there was no ramifications, no repercussions, all right? They got the best out of him, and it was another – it's what I said earlier. You're getting the feeling that there's more and more games – that you just kind of waste a win that should have been, you know? They should have won at least two or three games now, could have gone the other way in their favor, and they did not.
John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you, 713-572-4610. A lot to think about right now. Let us know what you're thinking. A little mini think tank, if you will, coming up on Sports Radio 610 in about 3 minutes. You know what time it is. Ozzie Guillen is an analyst for the White Sox TV network, mm-hmm, which is very dangerous because Ozzie Guillen,
he's the best.
He's definitely something. Yesterday, when Ozzie Guillen was in the studio during the White Sox game, Nick Swisher's name was brought up. Spent 1 year in Chicago. Nick Swisher was managed by Ozzie Guillen for a year. This is what Ozzie Guillen just unsolicited had to say about Nick Swisher and his name being brought up during the broadcast.
Oh, my God. Nick, nobody can compare that with Nick Swisher. I hate Nick Swisher with my heart.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You want to get into that a little more or no?
No, not really, but I think he hit me back. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I can't. You guys just didn't get along. Didn't work out.
No. I know. I never talked to him. I was managing him, but I don't like the way his attitude was all fake.
Yeah.
And I don't like fake people.
All right. So he was only in with the White Sox for 1 year, and then he moved on.
It was 1 year too long.
Okay.
I hate him, and it's all right. He hates me back.
That broadcaster was not comfortable with that.
Oh, because, you know, he works for the team, and he was like, oh, we don't need this heat, man. We don't need this heat. Let's move on. Ozzie was just... No, man, I hate him.
Nick Swisher is one of those cornballs. 713-572-4610. PGA Championship this weekend. Astros with a big series against the A's. Could be do or die And we also have Texans training camp.
Here we go.
Continuing. 713-572-4610. Don't ask us how we're doing. Just start your statement with, I think that. You're on the think tank. Go.
Hey, I think that B0B has a problem swallowing his pride and making the best decisions for this team. That's the way it's been since he's got here. Bring Jadeveon Clowney back. He's good. He's a good player. He hurries up the quarterback. He pressures them, and he stops the run. Put him on the opposite of JJ. Man, we got the best front line almost in the NFL. Top five, at least.
There you go.
Top five, huh?
Defensive line?
Don't know about that.
Him and JJ.
Him and JJ.
Yeah.
There's only three. There's four linebackers. Maybe. Yeah, that'd be good.
I love that call. He said he's a good player. Nobody here is saying he's great. I think he's got great talent. I think he's got a lot going for him. And we'll see.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that the Rockets were awesome in game one, and I also think the Astros are going to blow this season, and I also think that the Texans are the best team in the NFL.
All right. How about
best
that?
Best team in the NFL. Okay.
Optimism.
Okay. I feel like he got more and more drunk
as the call went
on. As his three thoughts went on. He started it with, I thought the Rockets were good in game one. Mm-hmm. This is true. Then he said that the Astros are going to blow the season. Not sure what that means.
But not off the table that they're, you know, because their pitching is collapsing and such.
Then he really started buzzing, and he said, I think the Texans are the best team in the NFL.
It's like when he took
cocaine. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
No, you know what that was, Figgy? He took an edible, and right before that third one is when it hit. You know how it hits you late?
If you're taking three edibles, then it's going to hit you pretty serious. The edible game is strong, by the way. Very, very strong. I've been told. You're on the think tank. Go.
Is it me?
Yeah, close your door.
Oh, my bad. I think that whatever Daniela Rodriguez or Correa is doing with that little moan, that little, got him going crazy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I cannot believe that's what she says when he asked to marry. Like, what does it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong with that? No, she put a little extra juice on it, a little jelly.
She knew that engagement was coming, right?
100%. 100%.
I mean, she was right in the front. Like, that engagement, they were ready.
Yes.
Carlos said, be ready after the game. I need you close.
Yeah.
Didn't give it away.
And she's like, oh, my God, it's happening.
That was pretty good acting then. You're on the think tank. Go.
Hey, I think the show needs to change his picture on the radio.com app. The boy has a beat cup, and he's nipping really hard.
Golly. He's talking about our show? Or
no, show.
He said show had a what?
A beat cup, and he's nipping.
I think he said D.
A D cup?
Yeah, I don't think he said B.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a breast man.
Did show get a bad pick?
I haven't seen it. I saw his old one. I didn't know he got a new one. Comes Google.
Is it a bad pick, Figgy?
I haven't seen it.
Let me check it out. Right. Check it out.
I got you.
How's the pick look?
I got you.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think we need to stop talking about getting Jadeveon Clowney back because if Bill O'Brien hears it, he's liable to trade Deshaun Watson for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. I will. I will pass on that. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think the only difference between my job and my wife is that after 3 years, my job still sucks.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think that Blacklock has more sacks than Clowney.
Okay. Blacklock, more sacks than Clowney. Okay.
That would be something.
What are you looking at over there? What are you trying to get me to look at?
I looked at the picture.
The show pic with Clint?
Mm-hmm. It's a B.
A what?
A B.
A B what?
You think it's bigger?
No, I can guess anyone's bra size.
Is that a hidden talent that you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even hidden. I mean, you show me anywhere, I can guess the bra size for sure, 100%.
I'm pretty good at it.
No, I'm really good at it.
You want a competition?
I'm really good at it. Well, then start me off in the competition.
Well, it's a dude. Any woman's, I should say.
Man, I'll tell you what, though, and don't take this as an insult. You used to be fat, dude. Like, there's some pictures of you. Well, you weren't
fat. I've seen some in the old videos.
You weren't fat. Like, look, dude, I looked at myself at the crawfish thing.
I was thick.
I looked at myself at the crawfish thing, and I was like, dude, you're going to be a fat ass if you don't get together. And that's why I've lost, like, 25, 30 pounds since then, because I'm tall, so you can hide it. But when you get a certain angle, it's like, damn, and you can see it in the face.
Yeah.
I just looked at it, and I said, holy crap. I got to get my ish together. And that's what I did. You have some before pictures out there right now.
I have a few. John was puffy in the face.
My face was big, yeah.
You can say that because you're not now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Thank you, sir.
You're on the Think Tango.
I think schnozzers, the guys that wear the mask below the nose, and women, are just the most annoying people of 2020. I mean, just take the stupid mask off.
What you're saying. Gotcha.
Are people wearing it below the nose?
Like they just cover their mouth? Yeah, that is irritating. Yeah. That is very irritating.
Really? Some of them are taking like...
Yeah, just why wear the mask?
It looked goofy, too.
And why wear it? You know?
Man, I want some nachos.
Have you done my nacho recipe yet?
Nah. Dude, I live next to a place that has the best nachos.
Okay, well,
town.
Then there's no need.
It's like...
Yeah, there's no need.
This spot's nice. I've been trying to get Figgy together. He ain't down. Figgy doesn't like kicking it with me anymore.
What place is it?
It's called 1836.
Oh, I've seen that place.
Yeah, man, the food's off the chain. It's open till 2, too.
That's really?
The place to watch a game, yeah.
There you go.
It's a restaurant, and the kitchen's open the entire time. You're on the Think Tank. Go. Go, man. Turn your radio down, man.
Been trying to get what? I wanted to know what he was trying to get.
It was me.
Oh.
I've been trying to get...
He's listening to the radio.
That was you.
Yeah, it was me. It was basically a remix. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think that unless you're pulling a trailer, you have no business pulling out wide to make a turn, you idiots.
Yeah, that's another pet peeve. Are we doing pet peeves now?
All right, let's do them in a minute. Let's do pet peeves at 120.
Okay.
Pet peeves, 713-572-4610.
Flashers, and it's raining.
All right, we'll have a Texans
There's
pet
mine.
Peeve. We will have a... Astros pet peeve and a Rockets pet peeve. Let's have
and a
three.
Life pet peeve.
We'll have three pet peeves about all of the teams going on, and then we'll have life pet peeves. So it's a four-piece of pet peeves.
All right, let me get my pen out.
At 54. I might have 4,000 because I have a lot of pet peeves. So we'll see what pops.
Three each team. And then life pet peeves.
Yes. Let's go around the NFL before we do that. Lots going on, lots of chatter. Texans training camp continues. Going around the league next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.